religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful. But if someone puts his hand on you, send him to the cemetery.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We're talking about a esteemed shaheed, a martyr, which is less known in a lot of the parts of the world, but is quite famously known in the West, and this is Shaheed Malcolm X. On this martyrdom anniversary of Shaheed Malcolm X, we wanted to just talk a little bit about Shaheed Malcolm X and his stances and his background a little bit. And so in order to talk about this esteemed Shaheed, we invited Sheikh Mohammed Hussain to the talk show. So let's go ahead and invite him. Sheikh Mohammed Hussain, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Saeed. How are you? It's a pleasure being here and thank you for inviting me.
Jazakallah, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, Sheikh Mohammed Hussain. I know in the holy city of Qom there's so much to do that it is difficult sometimes to take time out. But here we have this esteemed martyr by the name of Shaheed Malcolm X. He's better known. Excuse me. He's better known in the West. He's better known in the United States of America, in the Muslim countries, and towards the eastern part of the world, he is less well known. But interestingly, we find that the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he has called Malcolm X a shaheed, a martyr. And so this is a very profound and a very a deep statement made by the leader of the Islamic Revolution. So we decided to talk a little bit about this esteemed individual. If you could go ahead and start our discussion, Bismillah.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, Sayyid Malcolm X, his name actually being Al-Hajj Malik Al-Shabazz. Okay, this was his name. Where did the Malcolm X thing come from? Now, this young boy, while he was growing up, he saw so much torture being done to his family, to his friends, to the black community in general.
Yeah, oppression.
Exactly.
And so just to kind of, before we, just to do a backdrop, because I think some people might not know anything mm-hmm. about this esteemed martyr, but he was in the 1960s, a civil rights activist, a human rights activist, who fought for the rights of the downtrodden in the African American community of the United States of America. And eventually he was shot in a very mysterious but cold-blooded manner in front of his wife and kids and his congregation in New York City. Please continue.
Yeah, so speaking about his early childhood is that when he was growing up, he would witness so much torture. Right. And in those days, they would call it lynching, which was a sort of whipping that was done by the KKK or the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
And young Malcolm would see this, you know, being done by the white man to his, you know, his uncles, his fathers, his brothers, and he developed this hate towards the white man because this is what he saw regularly on a regular basis. So, going back to the days of slavery, where the white man would give their last name to the slaves that they owned, resonated in young Malcolm's mind.
Right.
So as he grew older, he decided that, okay, he would not carry on the name given by the slave master.
Right. So just to explain a little bit. So for example, if the slave owner's last name was Smith, then all of the slaves under him, they would also have the name Smith.
Exactly.
So for example, if it was Johnson, right? Yeah. So this person's first name was Malcolm, his family name would automatically become Johnson. And it was a way to cut off any kind of connection that these Africans had with their past lives. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So young Malcolm growing up, not wanting to carry on the name of the slave master and not knowing where his original name came from, he decided to use the letter X as a symbol to identify that he's not a slave or no one owns him.
So
he adopted the name Malcolm X. Eventually, on his journeys to Mecca, to Hajj, he developed the title. He gave himself the Islamic name Al-Hajj Al-Malik Al-Shabazz.
Right.
Okay. Just to speak a bit about his role. Okay. you have someone who comes from a impoverished area, which is the Harlem area in New York, in America, the United States.
Yes.
In this city, it's sort of the ghetto, okay,
yes,
the so-called
yes.
ghetto, where
the slums.
Exactly, where the worst of the food is sent there, the worst of the education is sent there. So for anyone to kind of prosper and develop in that area was a rare thing. But you had this young boy who was different from a really young age.
Yes.
He would show in his class, in his discussions, even with his teachers, they would recognize that this was not an ordinary boy. And he would rise and he would excel. And he would always be reading books and educating himself. And he developed in such a manner that he was able to, you know, raise the thinking of the people in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Along his life, he met with Elijah Muhammad, who at that time was the leader of the so-called Nation of Islam. This was an Islamic denomination, a Muslim group. And he gravitated towards Elijah Muhammad, and he learned a lot about Elijah Muhammad, about the religion of Islam, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about prophethood. You know, but this group, the Nation of Islam, they were predominantly black people. And they had this theory that the white man was the devil. So
yes.
they would drill this into young Malcolm's mind that the white man was the devil. And he, from the background that he had with the Ku Klux Klan and seeing all the lynching and stuff like this, he also had that innate hate towards the white man.
Right.
So in his speeches, in his lectures, in his deliveries, he would always, you know, try to push forward the black narrative and kind of play down the white man as someone who's bad. Okay? Now, in his promotion of the black people, this was something definitely positive. But if we look at humankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created people of all different colors. So, yes, he was a civil rights movement person. He was a revolutionist. He was the face of the black people at that time, but the negative or the bad thing that he did, which was not accepted, and he himself later recognized this, was that the recognizing the white man as the devil is not within the teachings of Islam.
Right.
Now,
I want to kind of throw in maybe 2 cents in here.
Okay.
It's interesting if you look throughout history, unfortunately, right? Because these people who said that the white man is the devil and the white man has destroyed the world and the earth, they have taken this thinking from somewhere, right? So, like you said, so they saw the slavery, they saw that the white man is the slave owner, the white man is doing the lynching, the white man has killed the Native Americans. The white man has colonized Africa. They have colonized the Americas, and so a lot of this thinking came from there. The flaw in the logic was that it's not necessarily the white man who does evil.
Mm-hmm.
Every man can do evil.
Right.
You see?
Exactly.
And this was something that I think even in Brother Malcolm's mind, eventually this started to grow, mm-hmm. was this idea that no, that you can't limit evil to a certain color or a certain language or a certain race or a certain, you know, ethnic background. Evil is the decision of every single human being to do evil or to do good.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. I'm
so
sorry.
In his as his life continued, He traveled outside of the United States and he made a pilgrimage. Now, during his journeys to the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saw over there that there were many different races making this holy pilgrimage. And eventually his thinking started to change, because all he was thought was that the white man was evil, the white man was a negative person. Now, seeing that all of the different races under the umbrella of Islam, under the unity and believing in prophethood and tawheed. And you know, in the Hajj, everyone is in the white clothing.
Right.
So that also raised some awareness in Malcolm's mind that, okay, everyone can be you know, give their self to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, right, no matter which background, which race they come from.
Right.
And this kind of made him go against the teachings of the Nation of Islam. And when he went back to the United States, he relayed this to Elijah Muhammad and the followers of that particular
denomination.
And he eventually had to move away from them because their teachings were against what he stood for. Now, in saying this, Malcolm X, he really, what we can take from him and what we can learn from him is that the black man or the African man or the person who is, you know, in the less quantity compared to, you know, everyone else, maybe in your school or in your workplace.
Right.
You matter as a human being, no matter the color of your skin.
Right.
And this mentality that black people and African people or people of African descent are of a lower standard to other people, Malcolm X totally tried to wipe that thinking out.
Right.
So, as someone of color, for those who are watching, and me telling myself, is that this should not be an obstacle in holding you back from achieving your goals and pursuing your dreams, no matter what people say.
Right.
Obviously, they will try to play you down. They will say, you know, black people are this, black people, they can't go beyond this level. But, you know, the color of your skin should not be an obstacle in you achieving what you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, I don't really want to take it towards a very political aspect, but what we do see in the life of Shaheed Malcolm X is that he did have a very powerful activist, political, focused on the society aspect, right? Mm-hmm. So he was very political. He talked about, you know, the hypocrisy of the Democrats in the United States and the Republicans in the United States. Mm-hmm. He talked about the hypocrisy of America in general. He talked about the hypocrisy of American foreign policy when it came to, for example, the wars against Vietnam and these kind of things. And these were the kind of the macro level things he talked about. At the same time, you see that he was very focused on his community, mm-hmm, and on increasing the power base of the community. So if you look at some of his speeches, one of them is, I believe, what is the ballot or the bullet, right? And so here he talks about this kind of uplifting of the African Americans. They should have their own businesses. They should have, you know, their own, at least their own schools, mm-hmm, right? They should be focused on strengthening their community.
Yes.
Now, this was something that was during the 1960s, which it really isn't that long of a time ago. But this was something that was terrifying for the governmental establishment,
yeah,
right? And he said these kind of things in his speeches. He said that, listen, if the black man does not become strong, the white man is always going to control him. Mm-hmm. They're going to control your businesses. They're going to control your life. They're going to keep on pumping drugs and alcohol into your communities. They're going to keep on pumping music, promiscuity. They're going to keep on destroying. So that the African-American individual needs to become strong, needs to raise their level of awareness, needs to raise their social status by themselves, mm-hmm, right? It was something Malcolm X really emphasizes. Nobody's going to come and help you. You have to help yourself, and you have to help your brothers and your sisters around you, right? Mm-hmm. I think the connection that I'm trying to make now is that in a country which promotes equality, the United States of America, mm-hmm, promotes freedom, promotes independence, it promotes the pursuit of happiness. This kind of condition where you have millions that are homeless, you have millions that are starvation, you have millions that are food stamps, and most of these people are African Americans, Hispanics, Latinos. You know, I mean, this to me, it doesn't mix with one another very well, if you'd like to comment on that.
Yeah, so Said, as you said, Brother Malcolm, he spoke these words in the 1960s, which was approximately, 50-something years ago.
Right, right.
And his words are exactly what are taking place today.
Right.
We can take the words of Brother Malcolm from that time and apply them today, and they would be useful in this day and age. Nothing has changed. It has actually gotten worse. If we take the words of Malcolm X and his advice to black people in educating themselves, in opening the books, in not taking bribes from the white man, in empowering themselves,
right,
all of the black communities worldwide would be in a better position today.
Right.
If we look at Africa today, it is being taken over by the Chinese.
Right, right. Financially and economically, China has a huge hand in controlling mines, copper, aluminium,
all of the resources from
gold, oil, you name it.
All of the resources in Africa, they are milking them.
Yes.
But this belongs to the African people.
Right.
So why aren't the African people benefiting from
right.
their own resources?
Right.
So the black man has to look at himself and return to the homeland, wherever they may be. Now, someone may say, no, I have established myself here in the US, in England. I've never been to Africa. But this
Which is one of the things that was discussed at that time.
Exactly.
Was this migration.
Exactly. But this is the thinking, and this is what the white man and the leaders and the oppressors want them to think. Whether you're from Africa, whether you're from Pakistan, whether you're from India, this is a sort of brain drain where they bring you over there and they go to your homeland and milk the resources.
You know, there's such a huge population of Pakistanis who live in the United Kingdom and a huge population of Pakistanis who live in the United States of America.
Yes.
While I was growing up there and going to work in the US, honestly, the majority of your engineers, the majority of these kind of scientific fields are running on these immigrants.
Yes.
And again, I'm trying to not go towards this political aspect, but it's quite clear. A country like the United States of America that has been built upon the back of immigrants, whether they were Irish or German or African Americans or Pakistanis or Indians or Chinese or Japanese or these guys, it's a nation that's built upon immigrants. And today, the worst kind of behavior which is done towards immigrants is in the United States of America. I don't know if you saw the picture of the people coming from Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador, right?
Yeah.
And they were trying to cross the Rio Grande.
And they built a wall, actually.
And I didn't know. So they built a wall. They were on the horses and they were kind of, you know, cowboying these people to get the heck out. A country built upon immigration and prosperous upon immigration has the worst record of human rights with immigrants. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. But, you know, Syed, interestingly, all of those denominations and those communities that you listed,
right,
till today, the worst affected is the African-American
right.
communities. All the people of African denominations, wherever they live, in the US or the UK or in Europe or whatever, the way they are treated, till today, I was listening to a program where someone said that they went to China, an African-American, and he was saying that in some places they were not allowed to enter.
Right.
In the year 2022,
right,
you know, and this is something that you would think, okay, maybe that was a long time ago, but
yeah.
No, it's today. So we see that the thinking by the so-called leaders and the white people, if you want to call them, it hasn't changed much. They may have used, you know, fancy terms to fool people.
Right.
You know, the slavery has been abolished. No, it has not been abolished.
Right.
In what way has it been abolished? It's been covered up. You know, the mentality is the worst type of slavery, mental slavery. Worst type of slavery.
And apart from the mental slavery, because I agree with that, you know, is how you keep a community under check. And of course, I grew up in the US, so I know that drugs, alcohol, guns, violence, music, promiscuity, these kind of things are all that keep the mind enslaved from being able to raise yourself and empower yourself, you know, to become something better, which is something that Islam promotes. So I was going to say is that apart from this mental slavery, this whole Black Lives Matter movement, right, which is just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
It's not that even old. The Black Lives Matter connected with the shooting of innocent African Americans, right, by the police, who for the most part happen to be, you know, white Americans, to this day there's this racial hatred, there's this racial discrimination, there's this image that has been portrayed in the minds of African Americans against the white man, against the police, and vice versa. Yeah. Right? In the common suburban white America, they have been painted a certain, you know, a discriminatory and prejudiced view of African Americans or Asians. Mm-hmm. Right? If you look World War II, Japanese Americans, they were thrown in concentration camps.
Yeah.
Right? So all of these, but I think even this, on the ground, you will find that today, even the countries such as the United States of America and the UK, who call themselves to be the promoters of freedom and equality and justice and all these things, are actually lowest on the list when it comes to these issues. And the only solution, again, in my humble opinion, is to be able to implement this pure Muhammadan Islam, mm-hmm. right? And this is where, again, Malcolm X comes into play. This is what the Nation of Islam was attracted to, right? This is what, so even today, you look, the Latino community is one of the fastest communities that's converting to Islam.
Okay.
Because, in the United States of America, because of this idea of equality and justice, mm-hmm. and making it practical on the ground.
Yeah. So, yeah, Syed, so Malcolm X, going back to Malcolm X, with his progressive thinking, he had no choice but to move away from the teachings of the Nation of Islam.
Right.
And the Zionists, the American leaders, they realized that this was a problem.
Right.
He was empowering black people mentally.
Right, mentally.
Which is a really dangerous thing. Freeing their minds, having them think outside of the box that they created for them to think in, to limit themselves. This person had them thinking outside of the box. Now, this was a problem, definitely, because
of course, yeah,
we are not allowed to have black people progress.
Or any people,
yeah. But most specifically black people,
yeah.
They are not allowed. They should be at the lowest level of community. So black people started to think and question and make moves. And this caused them to say, okay, we need to get rid of this problem.
Right.
This guy who is creating so much havoc and, you know, standing against us and going against our principles and what we, the script that we have written for the country, he's flipping the script,
right.
so to speak.
Right.
So we have to get rid of him. And what they did, as we know the story, how it goes, and even I think Brother Malcolm said this, that he said that they will get someone from amongst ourselves to kill us so that they would say that we are killing ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is what we see. And today, even in the Caribbean, it's black-on-black crime.
Well, even it come to the Middle East,
yes.
West Asia, it's Muslims killing Muslims. Daesh,
yeah.
is what else?
Exactly.
Other than a very large, you know, extrapolation of this idea of let them kill themselves,
yeah.
divide and conquer, you know, and we take the spoils while these people kill each other.
Right, but who created Daesh? Who paid these people to kill Malcolm? These are the people who we have to get rid of.
Right.
These are the problem, not Brother Malcolm.
Right.
Yes, Daesh is a problem, but we have to go to the source. Who is funding Daesh? Who is funding Boko Haram?
Right.
And until we don't get rid of the source, then these so-called proxy groups will always pop up and they will be in-house fighting.
Right. Right.
And the source of these proxy groups, the source of the satanic teachings of the world today is none other than the Zionists and the American government,
right.
The UK government. These are the head, the source of these negative satanic teachings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Saudi government, unfortunately, has the money, but they are not the thinkers. They are not that bright anyway. They just have the money, so they fund the thoughts of the Israelis and the Americans and the British.
And I mean, sometimes when, at least for some of the viewers, why are these guys talking about, you know, Zionism and the U.S. and the United Kingdom and this Anglo-Saxon imperialism, mm-hmm. you know, and that these guys are the you know, they're the ones who are funding and pushing out the satanic thoughts, and it might shock some people. And to put it very in very down-to-earth terms, it comes down to global domination, mm-hmm. comes down to power. Right, the United Kingdom or Britannia, right, Great Britain, when its empire was so vast that they said the sun does not set on the British Empire. This is what? This is power. Mm-hmm. Right? So all of these plans, which they we can put them under the umbrella of these kind of satanic evil, right? Why you want to dominate the world, you know? Especially if you're going to create, you know, class differences and racial differences and these things. But it comes down to power. The United States of America, they want to be a global power. Great Britain, back in the day, wanted to be a global power. And even today, they're using, for example, Saudi Arabia in order to, because Saudi Arabia wants to be a global or at least a regional power. They'll never be a global power. I just kind of want to end towards one quote from Shahid Malcolm X. It's interesting. Certain individuals, and of course he's a Shahid, so that increases his spiritual essence, right? Certain individuals, you talk about them and such beautiful, you know, fountains of knowledge and wisdom come forth. This is one such individual. Yes. He has one quote where he says, "It is criminal to teach a person to not defend themselves when they are being attacked." Mm-hmm. Awesome. Khub is very profound. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, when an individual is under attack, when you are being attacked, to tell that individual who is under attack to not defend yourself is criminal. Mm-hmm. And I think this is one of the things Islam teaches. I don't know if you want to comment towards the end of this. The right to self-defense.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And this is directly from the teachings of Islam. Because Islam in no form or fashion promotes oppression or encourages someone to stay in or under a life of oppression.
Right.
We look at Abu Abdullah, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He with a small army, everyone knows the story, they stood and they represented the fight against oppression.
Right.
No matter how small they were. So this saying or this quote that you beautifully quoted from Shahid Malcolm, this is directly out of Islam. And Malcolm X, in his knowledge and his wisdom, combined his academic wisdom I'm speaking about, combined with the teachings of Islam, he was able to use these statements and other profound statements to build a school of thought that till today, the West is scared of.
Yes.
The West still does not, okay, they say, okay, we have maybe Malcolm X Boulevard, masalan, but they still don't promote him in the way that he's supposed to be promoted, because they want to suppress the school of thought that was created by Malcolm X. They want to suppress the school of thought that is created by Shahid Qasim Soleimani. They want to suppress the school of thought that is created by anyone who stood for change and a positive revolutionary thinking and a movement. So even though Malcolm X was a great personality, he would not be given the credit and the credentials that he's due unless we, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the followers of people who want change, the revolutionary thinkers, takes his works, takes what he stood for and promotes him. And I applaud you for having shows like these that gives an outlet and
right.
it gives an avenue for people who want to understand what these personalities stood for. And they themselves can learn something from these shows and they themselves can promote what he stood for as well.
Ahsant, Sheikh Muhammad Hussain, thank you so much. May Allah bless you and may Allah bless all of our shuhada, including this esteemed Shaheed Malcolm X. And thank you for taking time out and joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
You're welcome, Saif.
And thank you, dear viewers. Again, we hope you enjoyed our special Islamic Pulse Talk Show on Shahid Malcolm X. May Allah, again, bless all of our martyrs. And until another talk show, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.